End Times Prophecy. Introduction. Bible prophecy warns us of what is coming so we will not be asleep and unaware when disaster hits. God warned Noah of a global flood and gave him time to build the ark and warn others of what would come. Lot was given no warning. He had to leave immediately or he would have perished with the Sodomites. Luke 17 verses 26-29. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built, but on the day that Lot went out of Sodom it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. In Noah and Lot's time, they were going out to eat and drink, planning weddings, and living their lives as usual with no awareness or concern about the judgment against sin, until the day disaster hit suddenly with no escape. The coming great tribulation will be the worst time in history, touching every person on the earth, and it is very rapidly approaching. We cannot afford to be careless and oblivious to the coming catastrophic events and miss God's way of escape. Luke 21 verses 34-36. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Historical evidence and accuracy. Before we look at future prophetic events, we will first check the accuracy and historical evidence of a few historically verified prophetic events to show how legitimate and accurate Bible prophecy is. Prophecy of Tyre. The following quotes are from the book Science Speaks by Peter Stoner, who illustrated the statistical probability of Bible prophecy happening by accident. We will look at just two examples out of the hundreds of fulfilled prophecies to prove that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. Let's start with the city of Tyre, as seen in prophecy, history, and archaeology. In Ezekiel chapter 26, there are seven prophecies concerning the city of Tyre. The writing of these prophecies was in the year 590 BC. 1. Nebuchadnezzar shall conquer the city. 2. Other nations will assist Nebuchadnezzar. 3. The city will be made like a bare rock. 4. It will be a place for spreading of fishing nets. 5. Its stones and timbers will be thrown into the sea. 6. Other cities will fear greatly at the fall of Tyre. 7. The old city of Tyre will never be rebuilt. 4 years after Ezekiel gave the prophecy, Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Tyre. The siege lasted 13 years. In 573 BC the city fell, but Babylonians found nothing of value because they had moved it to a nearby island. 241 years later Alexander the Great arrived on the scene. Fearing that the fleet of Tyre might be used against his homeland, he decided to take the island where the city had been moved to. He accomplished this goal by building a causeway from the mainland to the island, and he did that by using all the building materials from the ruins of the old city. Neighboring cities were so frightened by Alexander's conquest that they immediately opened their gates to him. Ever since that time, Tyre has remained in ruins and is a place where fishermen spread their nets. Thus, every detail of the prophecy was fulfilled exactly as predicted. Peter Stoner calculated the odds of such a prophecy being fulfilled by chance as being 1 in 75 million, or 1 in 7.5 by 10 to the 7th power. The exponent 7 indicates that the decimal is to be moved to the right 7 places. Stoner proceeds to calculate the probabilities of the prophecies concerning Samaria, Gaza and Ashkelon, Jericho, Palestine, Moab and Ammon, Edom, and Babylon. He also calculates the odds of prophecies being fulfilled that predicted the closing of the Eastern Gate, Ezekiel 44 verses 1-3, the plowing of Mount Zion, Micah 3 verse 12, and the enlargement of Jerusalem according to a prescribed pattern, Jeremiah 31 verses 38-40. Combining all these prophecies, he concludes that the probability of these 11 prophecies coming true, if written in human wisdom, is 1 in 5.76 by 10 to the 59th power. Needless to say, this is a number beyond the realm of possibility. Messianic prophecy. Now we will look at Jesus through the perspective of prophecy, history, and the science of probabilities. Peter Stoner calculated the probability of just 8 messianic prophecies being fulfilled in the life of Jesus. As you read through these prophecies, you will see that all estimates were calculated as conservatively as possible. 1. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5 verse 2. The average population of Bethlehem from the time of Micah to the present, 1958, divided by the average population of the earth during the same period. Estimate, 7150/2000000000 or 2.8 by 10 to the 5th power. 2. A messenger will prepare the way for the Messiah. Malachi 3 verse 1. One man in how many, the world over, has had a forerunner, in this case, John the Baptist, to prepare his way? Estimate, 1 in 1,000 or 1 by 10 to the 3rd power. 3. The Messiah will enter Jerusalem as a king riding on a donkey. Zechariah 9 verse 9. One man in how many, who has entered Jerusalem as a ruler, has entered riding on a donkey? Estimate, 1 in 100 or 1 by 10 to the 2nd power. 4. The Messiah will be betrayed by a friend and suffer wounds in his hands. Zechariah 13 verse 6. One man in how many, the world over, has been betrayed by a friend, resulting in wounds in his hands? Estimate, 1 in 1,000 or 1 by 10 to the 3rd power. 5. The Messiah will be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 11 verse 12. Of the people who have been betrayed, one in how many has been betrayed for exactly 30 pieces of silver? Estimate, 1 in 1,000 or 1 by 10 to the 3rd power. 1. The betrayal money will be used to purchase a potter's field. Zechariah 11 verse 13. One man in how many, after receiving a bribe for the betrayal of a friend, has returned the money, had it refused, and then experienced it being used to buy a potter's field? Estimate, 1 in 100,000 or 1 by 10 to the 5th power. 2. The Messiah will remain silent while he is afflicted. Isaiah 53 verse 7. One man in how many, when he is oppressed and afflicted, though innocent, will make no defense of himself? Estimate, 1 in 1,000 or 1 by 10 to the 3rd power. 3. The Messiah will die by having his hands and feet pierced. Psalm 22 verse 16. One man in how many, since the time of David, has been crucified? Estimate, 1 in 10,000 or 1 by 10 to the 4th power. Multiplying all these probabilities together produces a number, rounded off, of 1 by 10 to the 28th power. Dividing this number by an estimate of the number of people who have lived since the time of these prophecies, 88 billion, produces a probability of all 8 prophecies being fulfilled accidentally in the life of one person. That probability is 1 in 10 to the 17th power, or 1 in 100 quadrillion. That's 1 in 100 quadrillion. Stoner proceeds to use the 8 previously mentioned prophecies about the Messiah and calculates the odds of their accidental fulfillment in one person as being 1 in 10 to the 17th power. To picture this, imagine filling the state of Texas knee-deep in silver dollars. Include in this huge number one silver dollar with a black check mark on it. Then, turn a blindfolded person loose in this sea of silver dollars. The odds that the first coin he would pick up would be the one with the black check mark are the same as 8 prophecies being fulfilled accidentally in the life of Jesus. The point, of course, is that when people say that the fulfillment of prophecy in the life of Jesus was accidental, they do not know what they are talking about. Keep in mind that Jesus did not just fulfill 8 prophecies, he fulfilled 108. The chances of fulfilling 16 is 1 in 10 to the 45th power. When you get to a total of 48, the odds increase to 1 in 10 to the 157th power. Accidental fulfillment of these prophecies is simply beyond the realm of possibility. One of the most remarkable messianic prophecies in the Hebrew Scriptures is the one that precisely states that the Messiah will die by crucifixion. It is found in Psalm 22 where David prophesied the Messiah would die by having his hands and feet pierced, Psalm 22 verse 16. That prophecy was written 1,000 years before Jesus was born. When it was written, the Jewish method of execution was by stoning. The prophecy was also written many years before the Romans perfected crucifixion as a method of execution. Even when Jesus was killed, the Jews still relied on stoning as their method of execution, but they had lost the power to implement the death penalty due to Roman occupation. That is why they were forced to take Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor, and that's how Jesus ended up being crucified, in fulfillment of David's prophecy. Daniel's 70 weeks. Next, we see that Daniel prophesied the exact day that Jesus would make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the 5 Gentile world empires, and the signing of a 7-year covenant that begins the tribulation and the final global dictator known as the Antichrist. So, Daniel's prophecies reached more than 2,500 years in the future. Daniel 9 verses 24 to 26. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand, that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 7 weeks plus 62 weeks equals 69 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. In Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks, he prophesied to the exact day that Messiah, Jesus, would enter Jerusalem on Palm Sunday 483 years in the future. Daniel's prophecy said from the command to rebuild the second temple to the Messiah will be 69 weeks of 7 years or 483 years. The command to rebuild the temple came on March 14, 445 BC. To get the correct date of the appearance of the Messiah, we have to convert the Jewish 360-day calendar to the Roman 365-day calendar and account for the leap year differences, according to the language of the prophecy and the Jewish practices. 483 years x 360 days equals 173,880 days converted to the Roman calendar is 476 years and 24 days. 173,740 days. 173,740 days equals 476 years. Plus 24 days. March 14th counting forward 24 days. Plus 116 days. 116 days added for leap years. Equals 173,880 days. 483 years, or 69 weeks of 7 years. From March 14, 445 BC, plus 483 years ends on April 6, 32 AD, or the exact date that Jesus had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, in fulfillment of the prophecy of the 69th week, given by Daniel. The prophet Zechariah also prophesied about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, and he prophesied around 520 BC, over 550 years before Christ entered Jerusalem. Prophecy. Zechariah 9 verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, he is just in having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Fulfillment. Matthew 21 verses 4 to 9. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So, the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus knew perfectly well that he was fulfilling prophecy as he entered Jerusalem, saying, If you would have known, on this your day. The exact day prophesied by Daniel. Christ the Messiah rode into Jerusalem exactly as predicted 550 years before by Zechariah and Daniel, but the people did not know it, but Jesus did and wept over them. Jesus wept because the Jewish leaders had rejected him as their Messiah, and later, he prophesied the destruction of their temple as a consequence, which happened around 37 years later. Luke 19 verses 37 to 42. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King, Messiah, who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. Tribulation, the 70th week. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem fulfilled the first 69 weeks of Daniel's prophecy, leaving part of the prophecy remaining unfulfilled, which is the 70th week, called the Great Tribulation, which is the foundation of end times prophecy, the only reference point or marker in time for the tribulation prophecies. The tribulation period starts when Israel enters into a covenant of peace with the Antichrist. But the Antichrist will break the covenant after 3.5 years when he enters the Jewish temple and commits an abomination by declaring himself a god and setting up an image of himself to be worshipped. At the end of the 7 years of tribulation, Christ will return to judge the nations. Daniel 7 verses 26 to 27. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, until the end of the war desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. But in the middle of the week, 3.5 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. In the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist commits the abomination of desolation, and afterward, he begins a campaign of murder against anyone who will not worship him. Jesus himself verified this prophecy, and he advised the Jews living in Jerusalem and surrounding areas to flee immediately when they hear about the Antichrist committing an abomination in the temple. The next 3.5 years will be the worst in human history, which is why Jesus warned the Jews not to waste any time, don't even go inside their house to get their stuff, but to flee to the mountains of Judea. Matthew 24 verses 15 to 21. Therefore, when you see that abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Gentile empires. We need to look at another key to prophetic events that Daniel gave us. Daniel interpreted the dream of the Babylonian king in which he saw a giant statue that represented all the Gentile, non-Jewish, empires that would rule the earth until Christ, the stone, would smash the last Gentile empire and establish the millennial kingdom with Israel over the nations. Daniel's interpretation has happened as predicted, with each empire rising and falling, except for the last one that is a future event. The statue had a head of gold, Babylon Empire. The chest and two arms, Medo-Persian Empire, the belly and thighs of brass. Greek Empire, Alexander the Great. And the two legs of iron. Roman Empire, capitals in Rome and Constantinople. The feet of iron and clay represent a revived Roman Empire, world dominance coming out of the region of the ancient Roman Empire, and is the future Antichrist global empire. The iron represents the strength of the old Roman Empire, and the clay shows weakness in the confederation of the ten toes slash kings. Dissimilar, strength and weakness, but allied together for power. The ten toes represent ten rulers over ten global regions. The stone was cut without hands by God, and represents Christ, who, when he returns at the second coming, will smash the Antichrist kingdom till nothing remains and set up the Messianic kingdom. 1,000 years of Christ's rule on earth. Daniel 2 verses 32 to 35. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in peace. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together, and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. The Antichrist. The tribulation period officially begins when the Antichrist confirms a 7-year covenant with the nation of Israel, which is a marker in time that provides a timeline whereby all the other end times prophecies are measured. Once the covenant is confirmed 3.5 years later, in the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist commits the abomination of desolation. And 3.5 years after that, at the end of the 7-year covenant, the second coming of Christ will happen. Daniel 11 verse 21. And in his place shall arise a vile person, Antichrist, to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably, and seize the kingdom by intrigue. Daniel 9 verses 26 to 27. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, until the end of the war desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Even the name Antichrist is misleading because the Antichrist won't be upfront in his opposition to Christ, at least at first. He begins by imitating Christ and claiming that he is Christ, Messiah, and hiding his true character and intentions until he receives power to unleash a cruel satanic tyranny on the earth. Matthew 24 verses 4-5. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Matthew 24 verses 23-24. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "There," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. The Antichrist will be part of a global deception, a fake unholy trinity of evil. Satan portrays himself as God, and he will possess the Antichrist as the incarnate son of perdition. Hell, joined by a false prophet who will play the part of the unholy spirit that forces the world to worship the beast. Antichrist. The Antichrist receives his power from Satan, and the Antichrist and the false prophet use that power to unleash hell on earth. Revelation 12 verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great, fiery red dragon, Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. Revelation 13 verses 1-2. Then I stood on the sand of the sea. And I saw a beast, Antichrist, rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. As we said, this unholy trinity imitates God to deceive, so much so that the Antichrist is killed, rises from the dead, and demonstrates supernatural satanic powers trying to imitate the resurrection of Jesus Christ to deceive the world. Revelation 13 verses 3-4. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So, they worshipped the dragon, Satan, who gave authority to the beast, Antichrist, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Revelation 13 verses 11-14. Then I saw another beast, false prophet, coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, Christian, and spoke like a dragon, Satan, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The harlot church. Since Jesus has the church as his bride, the Antichrist has an imitation fake bride, also called the Whore of Babylon, mother of harlots, which is the source of all false religions going back to the Tower of Babel, Babylon. Every mystery religion that has ever sidetracked, distorted, or twisted the perception of God has its roots in Babylon. When God scattered the people after the Tower of Babel across the world, they took all the mysteries and ancient technologies with them, including pyramid construction, astrology, witchcraft, occult, spiritism, idolatry, mythology, and so forth. This false church is allied with the Antichrist, and she is riding on his power with the other 7 kings allied to him. Adding insult to injury, in her impersonation of the church, this harlot has a golden cup in her hand, representing communion, and in this case, it's communion with Satan. Her communion cup is full of the blood of the saints, and she is drunk on their blood. Historically, the Catholic Church has been responsible for the blood of tens of millions of Christians, especially during the Inquisitions in the Dark Ages. The Vatican, which sits on seven hills, has reigned over kings and is the religious capital for 1.2 billion people, sitting on oceans of people. Revelation 17 verses 1-18. Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot, spiritual harlot, who sits on many waters, multitudes of people, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So, he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman, drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, and the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Also, many Bible teachers believe that the Pope could be the false prophet. The false prophet will bring the world's religions together to influence their nations to join the Antichrist coalition. All religions will become state-run institutional harlot churches, while true believers will go underground before being martyred. The Pope has been working hard to bring about a unified global religion, pro-Marxist rule, climate change advocate. He does whatever it takes to advance the globalist agenda, like accepting homosexuals, child molesters, and all sin. He is a prime candidate to be the false prophet, and if not him, it may be his successor. Also, evangelical preachers like Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life, Jewish, Islamic, Hindus, and every religion are actively trying to unite into a global religion. Antichrist Global Government. From the book of Daniel and Revelation, we have a description of the Antichrist government. First, there are ten horns. Horns speak of power. These are the same as the ten toes in the vision of the statue of Gentile empires. These represent ten divisions of power in a revived Roman Empire, the last Gentile empire. These ten world leaders have a coalition, but the Antichrist destroys three of those leaders to take power over the remaining seven rulers to be the world's sole dictator. Daniel 2 verse 42. And as the ten toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. Daniel 7 verses 19-25. Exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured, broke in pieces, and trampled the residue with its feet. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And another shall rise after them, he shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. Revelation 17 verses 10-13. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. And the beast that was, and is not, is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. The Antichrist government is like a table with three legs, consisting of the government, Antichrist, religion, Babylon harlot. And financial, Babylon financial. The Antichrist system combining government, business, and religion don't mix well together. Iron and clay, creating a coalition that is a hybrid of all the previous empires, making it the fiercest, teeth of iron, and satanically evil in history. The world will eventually fall to global fascism under the Antichrist. The Western nations of the world are all transitioning closer toward fascism with every disaster, as emergency measures are a cooperation of government, technology, big business, and media propaganda to create a centralized global response. The world will be in such a state of chaos and void of leadership until the Antichrist steps in to fill the vacuum and will seem to be the world's Messiah, bringing peace solutions to all the world's problems. Abomination of Desolation. In the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist enters the Jewish temple, sets up an image of himself, declares himself God, and demands worship. Anyone who refuses to worship him and take his mark on their right hand or forehead cannot buy or sell and must die. Antichrist will have an iron-fisted tyranny of absolute control over every aspect of life, utilizing artificial intelligence and GPS to track every human being on Earth with constant surveillance, thanks to cell phones, RFID chips, and other technologies. He will have the power to kill the saints for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 3 to 4. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, second coming not rapture, will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Revelation 13 verses 5 to 7. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Revelation 13 verses 15 to 16. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Daniel 7 verses 24 to 25. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And another, Antichrist, shall rise after them, he shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years. The Antichrist and the 10 kings hate the harlot church, and they attack and destroy her with fire. The Antichrist treats the harlot church like a prostitute, and after using her, he gets rid of her. The Antichrist will use the religious leaders as useful idiots to bring billions of people under his control, and once he owns the people, he destroys the religious leaders. Besides being burnt with fire here on the earth, the harlot, the religious leaders, and their followers who bowed to the Antichrist image and took his mark, will burn in the fires of hell in the next life. Revelation 14 verses 9 to 11. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Revelation 17 verses 15 to 18. Then he said to me, "The waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns, kings, which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast, until the words of God are fulfilled. The ten kings destroy the harlot church, but God destroys commercial Babylon, the financial and trade centers of the Antichrist system. The allied merchants of the Antichrist system had enjoyed a global monopoly with all the world's sales, commerce, and trading funneled through Babylon's corporations until sudden destruction hits. Revelation 18 verses 9 to 13. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her, when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city! For in one hour your judgment has come." And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore, merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil, and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. At the second coming of Christ, during the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus destroys the Antichrist's armies, kings, and all those who took the mark of the beast and will feed their dead bodies to the vultures. The Antichrist and the false prophet are captured and thrown alive into the lake of fire. Then one unnamed angel binds Satan with a chain and imprisons him in the bottomless pit, abyss, where he will remain for 1,000 years. Revelation 19 verses 17 to 21. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, "Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great." And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him, Christ, who sat on the horse, and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. Revelation 20 verses 1 to 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. We cannot study the tribulation without a brief outline of the judgments and plagues that will strike the earth during the 7-year tribulation. Here are a few highlights or low points we can point out: global wars and global starvation, 1/4 of the earth's population dies, multitudes martyred, catastrophic earthquakes, 1/3 of all plant life dies, 1/3 of all ocean life dies, 1/3 of all rivers and spring waters poisoned, 200 million demonic creatures inflict pain, radioactive sun rays scorch men, another 1/3 of all men killed in battle, 100-pound hailstones, all those with the mark of the beast get painful sores and die, the world's worst earthquake, mountains shift, islands move, destruction of the world's armies, God's wrath against sin, and the judgment of the sheep and the goats. That was a brief outline of what will happen in the 7 years of the tribulation. believers in the tribulation. Now, we will look at the believers who find themselves in this time of judgment. The main groups are the two witnesses, the martyrs, the remnant of the nations, sheep, and the nation of Israel, with 144,000 sealed Jews from each tribe. The church is not present during the tribulation, and its absence is noticeable only by the warnings to be rapture ready to escape what's coming. Luke 21 verse 36. Watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Two witnesses. The two prophets are spoken of by Zechariah as the two olive trees producing olive oil, called lampstands, and anointed ones. The lampstand was filled with oil and gave light in the temple, so these two light the darkness by their preaching and exposing sin. The anointing oil represents the presence, power, and gifts of the Holy Spirit upon the lives of the two witnesses, who by the power of the Spirit call down fire from heaven, call for droughts and perform signs and wonders. Zechariah 4:6-11-14. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Then I answered and said to him, "What are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left?" And I further answered and said to him, "What are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains?" Then he answered me and said, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." So he said, "These are the two anointed ones, who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. These two are clothed in sackcloth, showing that they are preaching repentance as part of their ministry is to turn the hearts of Israel back to God. Also, they will come in the spirit of Elijah and Moses and call down similar plagues and fire on their enemies as Elijah and Moses did." Malachi 4:5-6. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers." Revelation 11:3-6. "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1260 days. 3.5 years. Clothed in sackcloth." These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven, so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to strike the earth with all plagues, as often as they desire. The Antichrist kills the two prophets, but 3.5 days later, the Spirit of God enters them, they are resurrected, taken to heaven, there is a great earthquake where 7,000 people die. All of those events are watched live by the whole world in real time, and the fear of God falls on the remnant, and they glorify God. Revelation 11:11-13. "And after 3 days and a half the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven." The nation of Israel. During the tribulation, God's plan for the Jews is to judge their sins, bring them to repentance, deliver them from their enemies, and save their souls. Christ will reveal himself to the Jews, and when they see him, they will mourn and grieve over their sins and the abominations committed in Israel, and they will believe and put their trust in Christ as their Messiah. Revelation 1:7. "Behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes, Jews, of the earth will mourn because of him. Matthew 24 verses 30-31. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes, Jews, of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Zechariah 12 verses 9-11. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour on the house of David, Jews, and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Israel, the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Rimmon in the plain of Megiddo. 144,000 from 12 tribes. The Antichrist has his mark of the beast that will take you to hell, another imitation. But God has his mark that his angels will place as a seal on the forehead of his people, which will protect his people throughout the tribulation. The believing Jews, sheep, are sealed, protected, and survive, while unbelieving Jews, goats, get killed, starting at the temple in Jerusalem going out from there. Revelation 7 verses 1-4. Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Ezekiel 9 verses 3-7. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen, who had the writer's inkhorn at his side, and the Lord said to him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. To the others he said in my hearing, Go after him through the city and kill, do not let your eye spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So, they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, Defile the temple, and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. All Israel saved. The current population of Jews is around 15 million, and two-thirds or 10 million Jews will not survive the tribulation. That dwarfs the 6 million who died in the Holocaust, and with that degree of devastation, we understand why it is called Jacob's trouble. Zechariah 13 verses 8-9. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, This is my people, and each one will say, The Lord is my God. Jeremiah 30 verse 7. Alas! For that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. When the Jews rejected Christ the first time he came, he turned to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. The times of the Gentiles' church age will end, then salvation will be of the Jews, and they will turn to their Messiah, Christ, and every Jew who survives the tribulation will have a personal salvation experience with Christ, along with all Israel. Romans 11 verses 25-26. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the Deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Gentiles martyred. There will be three groups of Gentiles in the tribulation: the martyrs, a surviving remnant, sheep, and unbelievers, goats, who die or get killed. First, looking at the martyrs, there will be a vast number from every tribe and nation. Even though they suffer unspeakable deaths, God rewards them with a crown and a place before His throne. Revelation 2 verses 9 to 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 6 verses 9 to 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. Revelation 7 verses 9 to 14. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So, he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 15 verses 2-3. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Gentile nations. Sheep. Next, looking at the remnant of Gentiles who survive, they are the sheep who helped Jesus' brethren, the Jews, during the tribulation. The sheep, remnant from the nations, will not earn salvation by works, helping the Jews, but they help the Jews because they are saved and demonstrated by their works. They will enter the millennial kingdom where Jesus will rule over them and repopulate the nations throughout the millennium until, at the end of the millennium, their children go against Jerusalem in the battle of Gog and Magog. Matthew 25 verses 31-40. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Sheep, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Revelation 20 verse 3. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations, no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. Revelation 20 verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Unbelievers. Then there are the goats, unbelievers who rejected Christ, bowed to the image of the beast, took his mark, and they will die either during the tribulation or at the second coming of Christ. They will go to hell and await their judgment at the great white throne, where they will stand trial before going to the lake of fire. Matthew 25 verses 41 to 45. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Goats, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Revelation 16 verse 2. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the man who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Revelation 19 verses 11 to 18. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, all people, free and slave, both small and great. Vision unsealed. The angel told Daniel his prophecies had been sealed, without the ability to understand until the end days. The angel also said that at the time of the end, the wise will understand. We are at the time of the end now, and the wise are reading Daniel's prophecies with understanding because they are coming alive before our eyes. With each passing day, we have more insight and ability to understand prophecy and are privileged to be living in the end times to see the fulfillment of such spectacular prophecies. Daniel 12 verses 8 to 10. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, My Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Daniel 12 verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book until the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Matthew 13 verses 16 to 17. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. We live in the times that the prophets foresaw, and we are seeing the same things they predicted, as we see the rise of the Antichrist government system, the birth of the nation of Israel, and Israel's enemies aligning against them, and all the other chess pieces are coming into position for the tribulation to begin. End times technology. We are witnessing advancements with end times technology that are needed to fulfill prophecy. The book of Daniel tells us that knowledge would increase in the end times, and there has been a knowledge explosion, making us like the Tower of Babel after the flood, where God said, Nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Apart from knowledge in general increasing, specific knowledge about our personal lives is being gathered continuously as a result of living in a type of Big Brother surveillance state. All of our personal information is the new gold. Big tech knows more about you than you know about yourself. Our personal information is the gold that governments, criminals, and corporations data mine to get, sell, and use for algorithms for psychological manipulation, eventually leading to complete control over every aspect of life. Daniel 12 verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book until the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Some prophecies looked like they would have been physically impossible to fulfill up to 100 years ago, and godless intellectuals quoted those prophecies to disprove the Bible. One question they had was this: how can the whole earth be watching when the two witnesses are killed, rise from the dead, and ascend to heaven? 100 years ago, that would have been impossible, but today even small children can carry a cell phone and watch worldwide events happening live in the palm of their hands. The scariest technology during the Great Tribulation will be the mark of the beast by which you can buy or sell, and without it, you will suffer the death penalty. The technology to monitor and control every single financial transaction on the entire planet at all times is here and already in use, which a few years ago would not have been possible. There are already multiple platforms or devices available from different countries and corporations to track and monitor everything about everyone. Technology is advancing so fast that what could be the mark of the beast today will be outdated technology tomorrow. Revelation 13 verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Revelation 13 verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Another possible technology example may be where Jesus describes the stars falling from the heavens. The Greek word for star is aster, where we get the word asteroid. In essence, he was describing an asteroid storm or meteor shower. There is a similar prophecy of danger coming from the sky where there will be a hailstorm with 100-pound hailstones. Matthew 24 verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Revelation 16 verse 21. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent, 100 pounds. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. On February 3, 2021, the company Starlink, owned by Elon Musk, had 40 satellites fall to the Earth due to a geomagnetic storm. Starlink wants to cover every square inch of planet Earth with internet access, and they are just one company, and there are many companies and countries with their satellites and space junk floating up there. There are estimates that by the year 2030, there will be 20,000 satellites in orbit, many are nuclear-powered, and some weigh more than 15,000 pounds, and according to one source the average weight is 100 pounds. At the second coming of Christ, he will destroy the Antichrist system, so what if he were to cast down all these satellites and smash them on the earth at one time? It would probably look like a meteor shower or hailstorm as they burn up on re-entry, followed by radioactive explosions when they hit. There is also the possibility of a barrage of missiles. The satellite and missile scenario may be thought-provoking speculation, and God may send literal hail made of ice with fire. Then again, he may bring down everything in the skies all at once, hail, fire, blood, missiles, and satellites. You don't want to be here to find out how it happens. Here is another prophecy about hail mixed with fire and burning up one-third of all plant life on earth. Revelation 8 verse 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. It seems pretty clear that there will be radioactive fallout of some kind, with people's eyes and flesh melting. Then again, that could be the brilliance of Christ at his second appearance. In that case, we want to be returning with him, from behind, and not in front of him. Zechariah 14 verse 12. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem, their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet, their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Birth pains. Following the birth of Israel as a nation, any major event like disasters, wars, famines, or tyranny that has a global impact may be another birth pain that signals the approaching Great Tribulation and the second coming of Christ. Examples would be World War I, Pearl Harbor and World War II, Israel becoming a nation, Israel's wars in 1948, 1967, 1973 for independence and taking Jerusalem, the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001, the COVID-19 global shutdowns in 2020, and Russia invading Ukraine in 2022, to name a few. Matthew 24 verse 8. All these are the beginning of birth pains. The global COVID pandemic was a global birth pain and power grab designed to condition the population into unquestioned submission to the government. Every nation reinforced global governance while stripping local authorities of their powers and identifying and penalizing dissenters and deniers. The COVID pandemic became a political, psychological, and financial weapon that made people face an ultimatum to either have an experimental drug injected into their body, against their will, or lose their job and freedoms. That was psychological conditioning to receive the mark of the beast. The goal of vaccinating every human being on the planet with experimental gene therapies, vaccines, like guinea pigs, came through a cabal of corrupt scientists, corrupt politicians, and globalist elite billionaires who doubled their wealth in 2 years as a result of COVID. Revelation 18 verses 23 to 24. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets, and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. The Greek word for merchants is speaking of big commercial suppliers. These great men of the earth, the world's richest men, oligarchs, the elite class made a profit by helping the Antichrist system to deceive the world by sorceries. The Greek word for sorceries is pharmakia, the root word for pharmacy or drugs. So here is the picture of commercial Babylon. These merchants were the global pharmaceutical corporations, big pharma, with politicians, news media, and global elites who deceived and plundered the world with the use of drugs. Experimental vaccines. Sound familiar? Just consider how they hijacked the world for 2 years and got away with it, and it was not by accident or coincidence. We should recognize that we are in the midst of a global revolution called the Great Reset, and their motto is to build back better. The globalists are building a global government for the Antichrist, whether they know it or not. The Great Reset movement has three legs, same as the Antichrist, on which they stand called ESG, standing for environmental, social, and governmental. The ESG scores are replacing the old FICO credit and payment history scores. The names may change, but their agendas will move forward. The E is for environmental, claiming it is for climate change, but it is for global control and ownership of all resources in the land, sea, and air. Acting in the name of climate change, they can control businesses, farming, water resources, fishing, mining, housing, food consumption, taxing the very air you breathe, and so much more. The E score will analyze your usage of resources, so depending on your score, it will affect loan approvals, employment status, public services and access to water, gas, electric utilities, which foods you can eat, and more. The letter S stands for social. which is the social record of a person or company regarding compliance with approved narratives and agendas. Every person on Earth has their information recorded and monitored, all their credit, debit, and ATM purchases, GPS locations, social media posts, political leanings, etc. Artificial intelligence takes that information and runs through its algorithms for behavioral analysis, psychological manipulations, punishments, etc. The weaponization of narratives to be promoted or destroyed will affect social scoring and can influence buying choices, election outcomes, reputations, media presence, and more. They conduct public reputation executions on persons and businesses accused of not identifying with their approved narratives, LGBTQ, climate change, critical race theory, etc. The globalist agenda, ESG, is their church and religion, and they will gather all the heretics and burn them on the stake. The letter G stands for government, which is deceptive because it is a merger between politicians and big business, also called crony capitalism, stakeholder capitalism, or global fascism. International corporations can mandate rules and restrictions that could never pass by voting in a political process. The G should stand for the punishment of any person or nation found in non-compliance to their agenda who will face escalating sanctions, boycotts, fines, legal battles, asset confiscation, ability to work, imprisonment, death, and war. The ability to buy, sell, work, and have ownership are their weapons. Signs of the Second Coming. It's like when the sun is going down, and the shadows grow long, things from the tribulation are casting their shadows over us. Or, it's a play, the Bible gives us the script and actors, and what to look for, namely things like the Gog-Magog War. Ezekiel 38. A revived Roman Empire with 10 regional kings, and a peace covenant between Israel and the Antichrist, and a rebuilt Jewish temple. Matthew 24 verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Israel, a nation, and the temple. We cannot study the end times prophecy without considering how everything relates to Israel. Israel is the key to Bible prophecy, and without Israel, there would be no Jesus, no Bible, no apostles, and no second coming. According to Bible prophecy, Israel must be in their land, the Jewish temple rebuilt in Jerusalem, and a covenant of peace between the Antichrist and the Jews for the tribulation to start. Israel became a nation in 1948, which was an undeniable miracle. Israel was a nation of people scattered around the earth for over 2,500 years, survived numerous annihilation attempts, and returned to their homeland with their original language, alphabet, culture, and religion. When Israel returned to its land in 1948, it was a dry, barren wasteland. Today Israel exports food to the region, is a leader in technology, is financially prosperous, has one of the world's largest natural gas fields, and has one of the best militaries in the world. Deception. The first warning that Jesus gave regarding the end times was about deception. In the latter times, the world will experience a rising wave of demonic influence in the churches to promote erroneous teaching to allow all kinds of sexual and doctrinal perversion. There is a great danger for those who reject the truth for a lifestyle of sin that God Himself will send a strong delusion over them to believe the lie, from which there is no salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 9-11. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Matthew 24 verses 4 to 24. And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceives you, and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Revelation 2 verse 20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. 2 Corinthians 11 verses 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Revelation 2 verses 14 to 15. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, prophecy for money, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. False Christ and false prophet. Jesus spoke specifically about false Christ and false prophets, which points to the coming Antichrist and the false prophet. We are watching for a global government to form and then a political leader. Antichrist. Who will come forward and seize power? The false prophet will be a religious leader who shepherds the multitudes to follow the Antichrist. The church fathers and most prophecy teachers think the Pope is the most likely candidate for that job of the false prophet. Matthew 24 verses 4 to 11. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Matthew 24 verses 23 to 24. Then if anyone says to you, Look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist has been in the world since the original apostles, influencing cunning political leaders who will use manipulation, negotiations, betrayal, cruelty, mass starvation, and mass murder to gain power in their quest for global domination. History has a long list of godless dictators controlled by the spirit of the Antichrist. 1 John 4 verse 3. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. 1 John 2 verses 18 to 22. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. 2 John 1 verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. Wars and rumors of war. There have always been wars and rumors of wars in regional areas. But what signals the end times are the world wars and the multiplication of the numbers of wars at one time. Also, note that the end times wars fight on multiple levels, cyber attacks on utilities, electrical grids, water and gas supply lines, social media propaganda, fake news misinformation, gas prices, economic sanctions, and more. Because there will be a global government with the Antichrist, we will see an ongoing struggle between the nations who want to keep their national sovereignty and identity against those who want a global government. Matthew 24 verse 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. During the end times, the wars will escalate until they develop into two of the wars mentioned in prophecy. The first war will be the Gog and Magog War. Ezekiel 38, which many teachers believe will be before or at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. This war specifically mentions a coalition of regional nations with Russia, Turkey, Iran, and others, led by Gog, a ruler, which will attack Israel for plunder but will die on the mountains of Israel. The second, the Battle of Armageddon, will involve the entire world attacking Jerusalem, being led by the Antichrist, and their mission is to kill God's people. The Antichrist's army will be from every nation of the world to gather in the Valley of Megiddo. Armageddon. To mount an attack against Jerusalem, which will happen at the end of the Great Tribulation and the Second Coming of Christ. There are two types of governmental systems seeking dominance in the end times, nationalism and globalism, and the struggle between these two will become more polarizing, pushing Russia closer to the Ezekiel 38 war and pushing Europe and the globalists closer to the Antichrist global government and the Battle of Armageddon. The invasion of Ukraine made Russia an international outcast, and the globalists fight using economic sanctions, combining global coalitions of partner nations and international businesses. The end times wars are being fought with food, oil, propaganda, cyber attacks, and collapsing economies, resulting in hyperinflation, famine, and death. The Russia-Ukraine war is regional but has global consequences, reshaping the geopolitical landscape, setting up future prophecy. The sanctions from the Ukraine war will contribute to Russia's economic collapse that will eventually lead Russia to make alliances with Iran, Turkey, and other former Soviet satellites to attack Israel to plunder their silver, gold, cattle, and gas. And as Ezekiel prophesied, God will put a hook in Russia and her allies' mouths and pull them to their death on the mountains of Israel. Ezekiel 38 verses 2-6. Son of man, set your face against Gog, of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Russia, Meshech, Moscow, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, thus says the Lord God. Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out, with all your army, horses, and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarma from the far north and all its troops, many people are with you. Ezekiel 39 verses 1-4. And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. And I will turn you around and lead you on, bringing you up from the far north, and bring you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand, and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who are with you. I will give you to birds of prey of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Gog is a political leader, and Magog is the geographical area of the people who live north of Israel, and they will initiate the war, but God will finish it. It will take 7 months to bury the dead, and they will burn the fuel from the weapons for 7 years. The $85 billion in military equipment left behind by the disgraceful U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan will probably add to the fuel to burn. God will turn the tables around, and Israel will take plunder from the invading nations that attack them. Ezekiel 39 verses 9-12. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and bucklers, the bows and arrows, the javelins and spears, and they will make fires with them for 7 years. They will not take wood from the field nor cut down any from the forests, because they will make fires with the weapons, and they will plunder those who plundered them, and pillage those who pillaged them, says the Lord God. It will come to pass in that day that I will give Gog a burial place there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea, and it will obstruct travelers, because there they will bury Gog and all his multitude. Therefore, they will call it the Valley of Hamon Gog. For 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them, in order to cleanse the land. The focal point of all end times wars points to Jerusalem, and the ungodly always want to destroy it, and if they can't demolish and desecrate it, they will try to divide it between the Jews and their enemies. Many presidents and world leaders have negotiated between the Jews and Islamists, trying for peace agreements by appeasing the Islamists by giving away Israel's land, including Jerusalem. Maybe they were ignorant of the fact that God himself will cut in pieces anyone who tries to divide God's land. Zechariah 12 verses 2-3. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness, trembling, to all the surrounding peoples, when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples, all who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. Keep your eyes on Jerusalem to see prophecy fulfilled. With Islamist allies of Russia destroyed at the Battle of Magog, that will remove the majority of the Islamist resistance for Israel to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Many teachers speculate that the Antichrist may negotiate a 7-year covenant of peace by making a deal with Israel to build the temple where the Islamic-controlled Dome of the Rock currently stands, allowing them to demolish it without creating a war. Another prophecy that may, or may not, be a prelude or consequence of the Ezekiel 38 war is the destruction of Damascus as a city. Currently, Damascus is one of the oldest continuously inhabited cities worldwide, but the day is coming that Damascus will be completely demolished, without inhabitants, and without being rebuilt. Isaiah 17 verse 1. The burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. Nation versus nation. Jesus said, nation will rise against nation. The word for nation is the Greek word ethnos, the root word for ethnicity or race. All national pride and patriotism are coming under attack as part of a revolution leading the world to globalism. Everything about a nation's independence, history, family structure, culture, morality, and religious convictions are erased and replaced as part of a divide-and-conquer campaign to separate everyone into camps to fight against each other. The global politicians and elites are funding this chaos to destabilize countries and promote revolution. Matthew 24 verse 7. For nation, ethnicity will rise against nation, ethnicity, and kingdom against kingdom. For the Antichrist global government to exist, there can be no national sovereignty, patriotism, history, culture, and above all, no personal rights or freedoms. The transition to a Marxist-style global tyranny will not come without pain, with opposition voices paying a heavy price like loss of ability to work, access to banks, credit cards, loans, travel, property rights, freedom of speech, fines, imprisonment, and death. Revelation 13 verses 15-17. And causes many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. The Four Horsemen. The Four Horsemen of the Book of Revelation are couriers of pain and destruction, but unlike missiles and bullets that strike suddenly, you can see and hear the horses coming from a long way off. The chaos and death they bring builds to a crescendo and will erupt in unparalleled devastation in the tribulation. White Horse, Antichrist. The first seal releases a white horse representing peace, whose rider has a bow but no arrows, showing he gains power by threats and intimidation of military conflict. Most teachers believe the rider is the Antichrist bringing a false peace, not godly inner peace, but peace on paper with written agreements, diplomacy, treaties, coalitions, alliances, and covenants. The writer wears a winner's crown, not a kingly crown, showing that he outmaneuvered his political foes through lies, deceit, intrigue, threats, coercion, mandates, regulations, and treaties. The world's leaders create disasters and chaos through oil embargoes, food shortages, media misinformation, cyberattacks, economic sanctions, mandates, shutdowns, and hyperinflation, but their solution is to centralize all power in a global government. That will set the stage for the Antichrist to come riding in on his white horse and pretend to be the world's Messiah to fix all the world's problems. Revelation 6 verse 2. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Daniel 11 verses 21 to 23. And in his place shall arise a vile person, to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably, and seize the kingdom by intrigue. With the force of a flood they shall be swept away from before him and be broken, and also the prince of the covenant. And after the league is made with him, he shall act deceitfully, for he shall come up and become strong with a small number of people. Satan forms the ten-nation coalition first, regions, powers, and then Satan gives his power and kingdom to the Antichrist. That satanic kingdom is in the process of being created right now, and we can hear the hoofbeats of the riders approaching. Revelation 12 verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great, fiery red dragon having seven heads and ten horns, and seven diadems on his heads. Revelation 13 verses 1 and 4. Then I stood on the sand of the sea. And I saw a beast, Antichrist, rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. So, they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, Antichrist, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Red horse. War. The rider on the red horse brings war with a great sword, and the Greek word for large is mega, so with mega weapons that are powerful and deadly, there will be bloody wars. The weapons of the end times are almost incomprehensible in mass destruction, nuclear, cyber, and biological from land, sea, and air. The current Ukraine war will result in more conflicts, which will undoubtedly set the stage for future wars leading to Russia's defeat on the mountains of Israel. And afterward, a global army will form from every nation to be Antichrist's army. We hear the red horse approaching as God is about to put a hook in Russia's mouth. Revelation 6 verse 4. Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large, mega, sword. Black horse, starvation, hyperinflation. In the Soviet Union, Joseph Stalin starved 4 million of his conquered peasants in Ukraine. Chairman Mao Zedong killed 45 million Chinese peasants by starvation and cruelty. We should not underestimate the cruelty of men to weaponize food shortages to starve their enemies and their people. The black horse of famine and starvation is drawing near, and we are starting to see empty shelves and hyperinflation, but this is just the beginning of sorrows. We will see food shortages, famines, and plagues becoming intolerably worse because of evil men. A day's wage for a loaf of bread is not enough to feed a family, leaving the poor starving because of food shortages and hyperinflation, while the wealthy elites are untouched and their oil and wine supplies are abundant. Revelation 6 verses 5 to 6. Come. I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures, saying, a quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine. Matthew 24 verse 7. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Pale horse. Death. The rider on the pale horse brings death. The rider on the white horse introduces the devil incarnate, Antichrist, with a global tyranny. The red horse launches war with weapons of mass destruction, and the black horse comes next with hyperinflation, food shortages, starvation, and plagues. It all culminates with the pale horse and everything from the previous horses, resulting in the death of one quarter of the world's population, about 2 billion people. But the worst is still yet to come. Revelation 6 verses 7 to 8. Come, I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Days of Noah. Like the days of Noah and Lot, we live in a world full of violence, injustice, pornography, homosexuality, and every kind of sick, twisted perversion. In the United States alone, since 1971, over 63 million babies have been killed through abortion. How long will God hold back his judgment for all this? Something far worse than Noah's flood is coming. Luke 17 verses 26 to 29. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man, full of violence, every thought evil, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Also, in the days of Lot, the entire population was homosexual. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. 2 Peter 2 verses 5 to 9. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Isaiah 5 verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good, and good evil, who put darkness for light, and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Planet in travail. Jesus said that there would be earthquakes in various places, which is significant because before the millennial kingdom begins, the earth will be released from the curse and recreated to be a paradise again. All creation groans with birth pains until the coming of the Lord, and the planet is longing to be set free from Adam's curse and be regenerated. The face of the earth will be changed and will undergo the worst earthquakes in history, mountains and islands moving out of place, valleys and rivers created, with hail and meteor showers. Nature's labor pains will get stronger and closer together until Christ the King arrives and the millennial kingdom begins. And Satan knows this, which is why we have the religion of climate change, with the prophets of planetary doom, oppressive laws, restrictions, lies for political gain, and fake science. Romans 8 verses 19 to 22. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Earthquakes in various places. Matthew 24 verse 7. There will be earthquakes in various places. At the Battle of Gog and Magog, God will use the forces of nature to defeat the invading armies. God will send an earthquake so powerful to be felt worldwide, accompanied by rain, hail, fire, and brimstone. He will also turn the invaders against each other, and none will survive. The world and Israel will have to acknowledge that God alone defeated Magog, and God will get all the glory for his miraculous intervention. Ezekiel 38 verses 18 to 38. And it will come to pass at the same time, when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy, and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken, surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. And I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. Thus, I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. When Christ returns, he will stand on the Mount of Olives, and a great earthquake will split the mountain in two and create a valley. Christ walks from there and enters the eastern gate of Jerusalem, where a river will break forth and run beginning from the eastern gate and will flow to the Mediterranean Sea to the west, and the Dead Sea to the east. The Dead Sea will come back to life and be full of fish. All the mountains and islands will move, and the earth will undergo a renovation. Zechariah 14 verses 4-8. On that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. On that day there will be no light, no cold or frost. It will be a unique day, without daytime or nighttime, a day known to the Lord. When evening comes, there will be light. On that day living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea and half to the western sea, in summer and in winter. Ezekiel 47 verses 1-12. Then he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the Dead Sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many." Persecution. Jesus told us that there would be persecution, similar to the other birth pains. Persecution against Jews and Christians will increase with greater intensity until there is an open genocide to exterminate all believers. Ironically, this persecution will initially come from a global religious community that the Bible calls the Harlot Church. The harlot world religion will become drunk on the blood of the saints, much like the Inquisitions of the Dark Ages, and the fake church will worship at the altar of the government. Fake science, climate change, homosexual LGBTQ rights, medical tyranny, and so forth. As we get closer to the coming of the Lord, the true church will have to go underground, being denigrated, segregated, shut down, isolated, demonized, and eventually incarcerated and killed. Matthew 24 verses 8-10. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Revelation 17 verses 5-6. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman, drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Revelation 2 verse 10. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, The devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. End times backsliding. Jesus said, because sin or lawlessness abounds, the hearts of many will grow cold, and many will lose their faith. The church has always had wolves, ministers of Satan, false apostles. But in the latter times, it will get increasingly worse with deceptions, backsliding, spiritual blindness, fake dead churches, demonically inspired teachings, and many won't listen to the truth, wanting to have their ears tickled with pleasant things and prosperity messages of greed. Matthew 24 verse 12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. 2 Timothy 4 verses 3 to 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Days of Noah and Lot. One of the main themes of Jesus' warnings was to be watching. When speaking of Noah and Lot, the people of those times just lived business as usual, buying, selling, married life, planting gardens, until one day they were completely surprised and destroyed with no hope of escape. Some will mock and say that Jesus is not coming back, that it is all a big fairy tale until suddenly they are caught by surprise and destroyed. 2 Peter 3 verses 3-7. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water, Noah's flood. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Luke 17 verses 26-29. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built, but on the day that Lot went out of Sodom it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 2-3. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, "Peace and safety," then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 6-8. Therefore let us not sleep, as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. The rapture. The rapture is where the dead and living believers who are in Christ are suddenly, and without notice, caught up to meet Jesus in the air, where they will receive their eternal resurrection body and their heavenly inheritance. The church, the bride of Christ, and the snatching away of believers in the rapture were mysteries to the Old Testament saints. Only after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost were those mysteries revealed. Ephesians 5 verses 25-32. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 51-52. Behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 15-17. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. So, here is the big question, who will Jesus take in the rapture? Only God knows for sure, and everyone has their own opinion, but the most important thing is not to set the bar too low and be left behind. Many preach easy beliefism, which says that when someone repeats a sinner's prayer, they are good to go and have a get-out-of-tribulation card with a ticket to heaven in the rapture. That sounds great, but how disastrous would it be if the traditions of men, the sinner's prayer, were only giving a false sense of security? How much weight should we put on a single prayer if not accompanied by repentance, being born again, and living a spirit-filled life? And yes, we know that salvation is by grace through faith alone and not by works. But we have a responsibility to do our part also. Revelation 19 verses 7-8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. James 2 verses 17-18. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Here is another problem. Where do the tribulation martyrs come from if the rapture removes all Christians from earth? There will be a great multitude of martyrs during the tribulation. Revelation 7 verses 9-14. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. According to some teachers, there will be a tremendous revival during the tribulation where vast multitudes will be saved, only to die as martyrs. That sounds hopeful for those who miss the rapture if that's true. The Bible must say a lot about it, right? Actually, no. In the book of Revelation, there is only one example that implies by speculation that Gentiles, non-Jews, get saved during the Great Tribulation. Revelation 11 verse 13. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. After seeing the two witnesses killed and resurrected, they were afraid and gave glory to God, but does that mean they came to repentance and faith and became martyrs? That's about the extent of revivals we see in the tribulation, at least among possible Gentile nations. Could it be possible that many of the martyrs were the lukewarm, backslidden, professing Christians who missed the rapture and returned to Christ before being killed in the tribulation? Which brings up the question, what on earth is worth missing the rapture? This world has nothing for the bride of Christ, who is ready to go right now and is watching, waiting, longing for Jesus to come. We know that there will be a tremendous revival with the nation of Israel during the tribulation, with 144,000 getting saved at one time. We also know that 1/3, 5 million, of the Jewish population will get saved. Zechariah 13 verses 7-9. If 1/3 were saved and lived, survive, and populate the millennial kingdom, what about the other 2/3, 10 million, that died? Would it be possible they became part of the vast multitude of martyrs? Most likely, yes, the martyrs will sing the song of Moses, which points to them being Jewish. Revelation 15 verses 2-3. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Contrary to the theory of a tribulation revival among Gentiles, we see multitudes who refuse to repent and curse God. Revelation 9 verses 20-21. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Revelation 16 verses 8-11. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. If people can't live for Christ now, how will they die for him then? Who knows if God will grant people the ability to repent or receive the love of the truth to be saved after they rejected the truth, believed the lie, and took pleasure in sin over God. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 9-12. The coming of the lawless one, Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We do not want to discourage anyone's faith, because the rapture is a blessed hope. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, He will finish the work He began in your life, and you will be ready. The key is that He is coming for His bride loves Him, and His bride loves His appearing. Titus 2 verses 11-13. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 15-17. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Jude 1 verses 24-25. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. 1 John 3 verses 2-3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. 2 Timothy 4 verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Jesus speaking of the day of the Lord, great tribulation, saying it will be like a trap, it closes suddenly, and there is no escape. We must be watchful and careful of being caught in the tribulation trap. We should do everything we can and pray that our family, friends, and anyone who will listen will escape the hell on earth that is coming and be taken in the rapture when Jesus comes for His church. Luke 21 verses 34 to 36. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. We need to be like Noah, moved with fear, and encourage people to get into the ark of salvation before it is too late, because something worse than the flood is coming and is almost here. Hebrews 11 verse 7. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Call to action. We are in the calm before the storm, but times are changing, and overnight our world could be completely different. Bible prophecy tells us that the worst time in human history is rapidly approaching. People will be saying peace and safety, and then sudden destruction will hit. Israel becoming a nation, world wars, global lockdowns, and global food shortages are warnings that the four horsemen of the apocalypse are on their way and getting closer. Now is the time to equip ourselves with the Word of God to share with others before another lockdown or being deplatformed or some other concocted restriction closes the door to our freedom. Like Joseph in Egypt stored grain during the 7 years of plenty so that when the 7 years of famine came, Egypt had food. Christians will not go through the Great Tribulation but can experience severe persecution before the rapture happens. The institutional church buildings could be locked down or become so perverted and politically woke that all true believers must flee from them. These are the years of plenty, and while we have time and freedom, we need to study the Word of God and share it with others, build fellowship groups of sincere believers, and be the church. This book is part of a set of studies that are essential teachings for followers of Christ. We call it the Toolbox Series because it is designed to make you a tool in the hand of God and provides you the knowledge you need for a scriptural foundation for your faith, while equipping you to share with others. These studies can be a startup kit for a small group Bible study and are downloadable with other resources, and it's free. Freely you have received, freely give. Go to our website at ears2hear.online.